Good morning. We've got a packed morning to a lot of things we need to get done. So let's begin with a word of prayer and have our traditional slam song. And so let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this humble assembly. We're so thankful, Father, for the many ways in which you use us. We pray, Father, you will continue to use us. And we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Now, in respect of the day, dealing with SLAM, let's open our hymnals to 461. And I know the young people are going to think that's the only hymn we know because it's always what we sing on its their weekend. But to me, it's what it's about. I love to tell the story. So let's sing 461. Great. People say that maybe more of a sing, but they've never asked me to join them to with one of those mics. I don't know. Yeah.
Of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell a story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, his pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell a story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it sings of glory, I sing the new, new song. Will be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Okay, let's, first of all, I've got several things I want to talk about, but let's begin with prayer, request and all. And, Kit, you want to start us off?
Comes with a, this comes with a story. A little over a week ago, there was a bad hailstorm in Rockwall, and the roofs were damaged. Shortly after, the neighborhood was flooded with self-proclaimed roofers who wanted to fix roofs, knocking on doors. We had five the first day. Then the phone call started. Then go to Sunday, and you were teaching about the crown of glory and related that to personal witnessing. I'm not very good at knocking on doors. I had a job a long time ago knocking on doors, and I felt very uncomfortable. Well, I don't know. This crown of glory might be a hard nut to crack. Then fast forward to this past Friday. We're still getting phone calls from roofers. Now, my wife, if there's a phone ringing, she'll answer it. She might not like it. And she's even used the F word, and that doesn't mean fake. But I don't normally answer the phone unless I recognize the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured that I'd be answering the phone, so I came up with a little script. I know that these groupers aren't going to be truthful, but I'll get on the phone and I'll say, "Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they'll say, "Yes," and I'll say, "I'll see you in heaven," and hang up.
Thank you.
But Friday, that didn't happen. The guy was honest and said, "No, I haven't." And I said, "Well, now I can't follow my script." And then he challenges me and says, I don't believe because you can't prove the resurrection from science. Well, I wasn't prepared to talk about that. Maybe the Holy Spirit swooped in and I said, well, science has a lot to learn yet. And he says, it's not my job to convince you. My job is to give you the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And at that point, we never talked about roofs from that point on. We talked about Jesus Christ. And towards the end of the conversation, I said, "Do you believe that when you die, that's it, there's nothing more?" And he kind of sorrowfully said, "Yes." So I felt that he's been struggling with the gospel. This isn't the first time he's heard the gospel. He's been thinking about this for some time. But he's used science as a shield. So at the end, he said, "Well, it's good that you have faith." And we talked a little bit, and I hung up. But there were two things came out of that for me. One is a request for, I don't know what his name is, don't remember it, but he's obviously struggling with the gospel. I pray that the Holy Spirit will convict him, that he'll understand and know that science is not that science proves God. It's God. Science is man's perspective, and God is much bigger than that.
We're going to join you in prayer that the Holy Spirit will convict him.
And the second thing is, there's now hope for my crown of joy. I have now become a televangelist.
And we've all learned how to not talk about the roof if a roofer calls.
God,
you believe in Jesus Christ, click.
So God's just going to send people on the phone, and they're just going to call me.
That is beautiful. That's beautiful. You might not get any more. They call each other and they say, "Don't call this guy."
Yesterday, and he did say, "Oh yeah, I'm a believer." I said, "Good, I'll see you in heaven."
Yes.
This one's a bit more serious. There's a young lady, she's actually about 17, I think. She was fighting cancer at the same time as Thomas in 2011. She had a soft tissue cancer. She beat that, and then the next year she had to have a bone marrow transplant. She got leukemia as a secondary cancer. They've been in the hospital since Friday. She's been in bad pain. She's got a 2-centimeter cyst on a mass on her kidney. They don't know if it's cancer yet or not. But please be in prayer for this family. It's the Rath G family. Her name is Hannah.
Hannah?
Yes. And I just pray to God that she's not a third round and a different type of cancer.
Okay. We've got an unbeliever we need to be in prayer for. Do we know about Hannah's?
Yeah, they're believers.
Believer. So be in prayer for Hannah. That God will, whatever he's doing in her life, her family's life, will be brought to fruition. Any other prayer requests? Yes?
My boss, who just lost her stepdaughter, Friday. My boss's stepdaughter passed away on Friday from cancer.
Oh.
55 and has children.
Oh. Well, can we pray?
Just pray for the family.
Family? Okay. We'll pray for the family. Absolutely. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
My friend in California.
Yes.
We've been praying for.
You got a lot of friends in California, but we know which one you're talking about.
The Lord promoted him home.
Oh.
And so we just need to be in prayer for her.
For her, yeah. She does need our prayer.
Yeah.
She's a believer, but not much knowledge.
She's a Catholic believer. I don't quite understand it. But I asked her, and she said yes, so.
It's so funny you said that. This week I was at the bank, and something happened, and I said to the lady, I said, are you a Christian? Oh, I know how it happened. Her name was Christian. And I said, are you your namesake? And she goes, sort of. And I looked at her, I went, sort of? She says, I'm a Catholic. I went, oh. And then after we finished our business, I said, now let me tell you how I can become absolute. Just believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And she said, I know. And she didn't say, I have. She said, I know. But that was so funny. Sort of. All right, any other? Yes.
Dalton. An update on Dalton.
Yes.
He was seen by a pulmonologist on Friday at the recommendation of the naturopath he had been going to. There is some concern for some hardening around the outer lining of his lung. And so he will be seeing the surgeon on Monday, most likely.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. We don't have that information, but according to the pulmonologist, they're probably going to have to do surgery. And he will be hospitalized for some time for probably scraping up the lungs.
How long?
Don't know.
Wow.
So, just be in prayer for...
Pray for a miracle. We need him in camp. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you on that. But I think that we need to be praying for the hands of the surgeon at this moment and for peace and strength for Dalton's body and for Leah and Jeff as well.
Okay. Be in prayer for Dalton. He's comes in every year and sings with our young people at camp. And now he needs our prayers, not just in travel, but in traveling through life. So let's be in prayer for the doctors, wisdom, tomorrow, and also, okay. Yes.
Amber's, all three of her kids have been sick. She took them to the emergency room last night.
All three of them?
Wow.
And just pray.
She's not that bad of a cook.
She's actually a good cook. So she's needing just prayers today that their body's going to be stronger so that she, and that wisdom for her to know what to do to help them.
What happened if they had to take them?
Yeah, fevers and vomiting and dehydration and all of that.
So. Let's be in prayer. My goodness. Absolutely. Wow, tell her we're in prayer. That we care. All right, any other prayer requests? Yes.
The O'Toole family, a lot of you guys know Trey. O'Toole's been a camper with us for a long time, and our good friends and neighbors, and his grandfather, Shannon's father, has been in the hospital. He's had at least 2 heart attacks since he's been in the hospital. They're saying triple or quadruple bypass tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
But he was in such bad shape. They put 4 or 5 stents in there. He's told his family, you know, DNR, I do not want a quality of life. They want to honor that. They're also just pray for comfort and peace. They are a Catholic family. Trey has been coming to camp with us for a long time.
How old is he?
Trey is 12.
Wow.
Very close to his grandparents. Very, very close to his grandparents. He's a Filipino and just a very close family. But prayer all the way around. Prayer that the gospel that. Ray is his name. they asked for the priest to come in and do the last rites and that was very important to them. And that, but Trey knows the truth. Shannon knows the truth of the gospel. I just pray that, you know, he kept saying, I've lived a good life. And I said, Shannon, that he knows where he's going. Believe in Jesus Christ his name. And she said, yes.
We need to be in prayer.
Just praying that that's clear, that there's clarity in that.
Absolutely. Pray for his family. Yep. Wow. 12 years old. Had any other prayer requests? Please pray for Judith. She wasn't feeling bad last night, went to bed, and woke up feeling worse this morning. And I said, I didn't do anything during the night. I was a good boy. But she's not feeling well at all. So please be in prayer. Okay. I have 2 announcements I want to make. And the first one is this coming Wednesday. Excuse me. Not yet. this will be okay. This coming Thursday and Friday, Thursday at 2 o'clock and 8 o'clock, Friday at 8 o'clock, they're doing at the Iceman Center, Amazing Grace. It's the story of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, and they say they go through his entire life of how all the things that happened to him, all of the problems he had, and different ways he battled it. So if you're interested, Thursday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and Thursday evening at 8, and then the Friday at 8 o'clock only. Prices range from, was it 32 to 52? Yeah. And I told you, we may not remember, but I got to have a $52 seat. I got to hear it. I'm going to go. I want to hear it. And so, but to just let you know, and it'd be well worth it. Even Lala and I and Judith and I are going to go to the 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And Phil told me that the young people are going Friday night at 8 o'clock. So you can join the us at the 2 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Okay. The word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. O Heavenly Father, do we learn the difference between you and Satan? Your way is always free. Salvation is free. Spirituality is free. But Satan is the ruler of the world, and it costs. It costs for us to have assembly, internet, presentation, all these things, Heavenly Father. And we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you continue to use this assembly in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Slam presentation this morning. Just to give you an idea how this works. Kit comes up last week and says, one of my relatives from Greece, going to be here during the time of camp, wants to come to camp. I said, well, how do they even know about it? She said, oh, they listened to you on the internet. I went, wow, great. We were both happy. So I said, well, next week, when Chris comes, tell Chris and Laura about and Larry and then get their name down and we'll get it going. They put the presentation for registration, when was it, Tuesday or Wednesday? Huh? Thursday. And within what, 3 hours? Within 3 hours, they had up full, over 134. Already. So, I said, look, y'all gotta get this poor child's coming all the way from Greece. She's gonna get the prize for coming the furthest. We can't deny her. Gotta sneak her in somewhere. And, I just want you, see how wonderful it is and how wonderful the Lord is using it, but also Slam Camp. So without further ado, I turn everything over, not to Chris Daig. By the way, next Sunday morning at 9:15, Chris Daig is going to be teaching for a while, and he's anxious about teaching, and I love that. That's a good attitude. And so I look forward to hearing him next week, few weeks. But this morning, then take. Okay.
All right. So I was told last night that I would be doing this. So I was asked last night, like really close. All right. So I was asked last night if I would do it, and I said yes. But so I'm not overly prepared. But I just wanted to talk about some of the things we did for SLAM this year, and just some awesome things that happened and things we talked about. So we had our three planning meetings like we always do. Our first one was a month and a half ago. And we picked our teams, and of course, like always happens, me and Nick ended up on the same team. And Ryan, too, so our entire church youth was on one team. But it actually ended up being really good. We had a good team. We were 1-4. Yeah, we definitely won every game. We were really good. So we had our planning meetings, and we learned that our group's theme, so we had four themes for each group to talk about, and so there was Jesus Christ as our Savior, Jesus Christ as our Priest, Jesus Christ as our Prophet, and Jesus Christ as our King. And so our group, we got Prophet, right? Yeah. So it was really cool to look at all these different verses. So what we did during our planning meetings, we had to come up with a game that everyone could play. We had to come up with a team name. Our team was the Dogs. Yeah, God's Dogs. We were running out of time, so we just threw something together. We had to have a team identifier. So I'm actually wearing my socks. We tie-dyed some socks. And so that was what our team wore. So we knew what team we were on. And then we had to look at different verses, and we had to teach our theme to the entire camp, to the rest of the camp. And so we got Jesus Christ as our Prophet. And, I mean, I can't really talk about much of the other groups because I just listened to them. I didn't get to really study those and teach those. But for our group, it was really cool. We got to look at New Testament passages, but also Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And I think that's something that people really look over a lot and just don't focus on. But I think it's really cool to see Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Especially Isaiah 53. We talked about that a lot, during this SLAM camp. And so, during our planning meetings, we got to study the Word and, just be together a lot. And then, we got to last Friday. And that was when everyone met together. And it was outrageous. We had tornado warnings, lightning, golf ball sized hail, tornado sirens going off, I actually wasn't with the rest of the group because I had a baseball game and we ended up going on lightning delay for 3 hours and waiting it out. But yeah. But everyone else, they got to go to Plano East High School and be running back and forth inside, outside, in the gym, getting in the vans ready to go, and then the sirens go off again and they run back into the gym. So it was definitely a unexpected thing for Friday night, but it all worked out. They got to get some good CC's pizza, and I mean, they made it to camp safe. I ended up showing up like an hour later than everyone else, and played some icebreakers, played some games, just to get everybody going, get everyone together, breaking down their walls, trying to start it off with some fun and get to know each other. And then, Saturday was really busy. We had three groups go. We did about 8 hours of Bible study on Saturday. Woo! Sitting on that concrete floor. But, it was awesome. Got to be in the Word of God a lot. Had our three different groups go on Saturday. Ate some really good food. If there's one thing that I can recruit people to go to SLAM for, they make some good food up there. So, next year. And then Sunday, we did a lot of worship. A lot of worship. That's probably one of my favorite things, is to just be together with 50 different people, and we're all linking arms, grabbing each other, hugging on each other, singing praise to God. And it's always really powerful, and something I really like to do. And then Sunday we had another group go, did some more worship. Then we had communion. That was just kind of an outline of what SLAM was, I guess. But I want to ask Nick. I'm going to have him talk because he loves to talk. Just want to ask him probably what was the most impactful thing that you learned this weekend or last weekend, and what was your favorite thing?
The most fun thing for me was the Just Dance competition, for sure, because I won. Of course I won. The most impactful thing that I learned was how Jesus is the great prophet, and how he's all four things. Like, in the Bible, you can find examples. Just, he's the king, he's our prophet, he's our priest, and he's our savior. And just in different places, you can find like how he goes, and sometimes he's all at once. So, yeah.
What was it? Oh, hey. So, how was it different being kind of a leader at SLAM rather than just a camper at summer camp? Like, what's the difference for you?
I have a lot closer of a connection to the people instead of a camp. Yes, I'm just closer to everyone at SLAM. At camp, there's like some people I don't even know, and it's hard to get close to them. And it's a much closer connection to God.
Cool. So you're good. You can sit down. So I want to ask my mom. Just gotta single you out. Just what was it like not being a camper at SLAM camp, but from like the leadership side, you know? Like the overall leadership side, the administration, and just watching, how was that experience?
Well, you know, we're getting older. So we had many. We had a 15 young Liberty leadership team. Larry has been calling them, which is a great name. Our young adults are much younger adults than us. So it's mixed feelings. I will say it's an amazing thing to watch these young adults commit to that time. They are driving from all over. We had Allie coming from Arkansas, and Cameron and Addie coming up from College Station, and Mackenzie coming up and from Stephen F. Austin, and kids coming from Plano. Incredible what they prayed about and just by faith showed up for and are totally committed to their foundation of Jesus Christ in their life. It's humbling. It's really humbling. If you think about when you were in college, I don't know where you guys were, but I wasn't driving cross country to go be at a youth camp to help teach and mentor young campers. So that's very humbling and awesome. And it's crazy because, you know, you step back and say, okay, Lord, where am I in this? Where are you using me? How am I to be used? And that's a good place to be. It's good to be humbled. So, you know, I've done some laughing and some crying over the last couple of weeks and a lot of prayer. And I know Larry and Brian, too. We've, you know, the Lord has blessed us with amazing privilege and opportunity to be a part of this. And it's good to keep asking, Lord, where do you need me? Where do you want me? And, you know, whether it's taking out the trash or serving a meal or carrying something or driving a van or whatever it is, all to His glory. So, what a privilege. It's awesome.
Okay, and then I want to ask Miss Larry, a lot of the people who were leading it this year came out of Plano and they just graduated. I just want to ask, like, how is that being able to see them kind of grow throughout their entire camp experience and then finally getting to this point where they're leading the camp?
Well, your mom said a lot of what I would have said, but I will say this. Sorry, I took my green shirt off. I would answer that question by saying I'm just incredibly proud of them. It was a joy to see them. They have passion like no other to do this. I mean, truly, they come out of the woodwork, they make time. Mackenzie has already got half of them signed up to be staff for the summer already. They're all over their social media talking about how incredible their weekend was. They are reaching out to their campers who they had counseled over the last couple years and just already rallying those campers and getting them together as a group. You know, you guys are taking this thing to places that we could never have imagined. So, you know, God's definitely using you guys all, and we're just really, really proud and grateful to be a part. Like Lori said, if we're taking out the trash, so be it. I'm happy to just be a fly on the wall and continue to mentor to you guys. So it was a joy. It was truly a joy, other than the fact that I am getting older and it was... I'm tired.
Yeah, it was really, really awesome. Oh. Okay.
What was it like for you both to have that many Liberty leadership team around you versus us being up there talking to you all the time?
I was wondering that.
It was really cool to have some... This is gonna sound bad, but it was cool to have some younger people around us. just closer to our age and being able to relate to them a little bit more. And I think it's easier to be more honest and open with people who are closer to you, especially not your parents. It's hard to be open with your parents around. But it's really awesome for me with having them around, because you feel that support from them and you know they understand what you're going through. They just went through it, or they are going through it right now. And so they have some really good perspectives on what they've done and how they've handled those things. And so on Saturday night, the juniors in high school, so my group, we got to have a talk with some of the college freshmen. And we just kind of opened up about things. They were asking about everything from school to sports to relationships to just everything that they know is present in high school. And so we talked about those things and just got to be really open with each other and with them. And so I think that was really cool, having some younger people in leadership roles.
Okay.
I'll just ask like a general question. How was your camp experience? Like, what did you see going on?
I would say the groups, when they break out in the groups and ask the questions and stuff of the groups, and they all get together. It's just amazing to me how they all have get involved in it, asking questions, answering questions, and they'll spend 45 minutes, an hour, just sitting there talking amongst each other. But it's really, really awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like, especially with our group, we went into small groups, and we ended up talking about something that we weren't even supposed to be talking about. We were trying to teach how Jesus was a prophet, and Ryan was with me in talking to a certain group, and she had spent the night before. And she went through this little booklet that everyone got, and it had all these different study questions and discussion questions and verses in it. And she went through, and she took her Bible and started studying, and one thing she really focused on was prayer and how prayer is important. And so we were supposed to be talking about Jesus Christ as our prophet, and we ended up talking about prayer for a good 30 or 45 minutes with this group. And it was just cool. You know, you're not always going to do what you expect to do, but sometimes you just go where the Holy Spirit takes you, and you just roll with it. And so I think really it was cool to talk about. I think we added a fifth category to what Jesus is to us. So we had all the other ones, and we were supposed to be talking about prophet, but I think really we talked about Jesus Christ as our friend in our lives, and I think that was really powerful for me. I mean, I was up there just talking a lot. I don't know if anybody else thought it was powerful, but for me talking, I really felt it. That was a really cool experience to be able to teach and for me this year, stepping up into a leader role within the team, not just being a camper with someone else leading. I really, I guess, took on the L in Slam Camp, the leadership part. And so it was a lot of fun. I had a really good partner, Sheila. She is hilarious. Just makes everything fun. And we had a good group. They were annoying at times, but you got to get over it. It was fun talking to them, messing with them. I had a lot of younger guys in my group, so. Okay, so we have a slideshow of tons of different pictures that we took at Slam. We're not going to show all of them because there's just too many. But we got a slideshow just showing some of the fun things we did. That was up until Saturday night. We did a little bit more on Sunday. But it was just really awesome to be there and to be with a bunch of believers and be in an environment where it's all about God and studying the Word of God. And it's all about our faith. And I think that's really important. I think it's really cool that it's during the school year and kind of towards the end of the school year, because now is a time when things get really stressful and we're all worn out. We're trying to make it to summer. Got a lot of things going on. And it's cool to just take a whole weekend, take a break, and unplug from everything else, and just go focus on studying the Word. And I know that's one thing that was hard coming back this week, just coming out of that environment and coming back into the world, going back into school and just extracurriculars and baseball. And that's been something that's always a challenge every year. Something that I definitely want to ask for prayer on. Just all of us coming back into the world and making sure that we can stay focused on what we need to be focused on and not stress about these other things. But now I want to ask Mr. Phil to come up and talk about some of the things that he talked about with us at Slam and just a lot of the stuff we learned about.
You know, the kids were great. It really was a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But they're kids, you know. Sometimes they're obnoxious. Sometimes they get on your nerves, you know. But, I did. Larry is definitely agreeing with you on that one.
So, we had, a couple of weeks preparing. They all had a sheet like this with some verses and some questions about what to look at on their aspect of what this Jesus is, whether it was Savior, King, Prophet, or Priest. And, we walked through the first weekend. They're kind of reading through the verses, and yea, doth he asunder, and, okay. Yeah, and, not understanding much of it, reading through it, asking the questions, what does it mean he's a priest? I don't know, you know? Yeah, okay. So Chris and I started then teaching them to, observe the Word of God, look at what's going on, look at some verses around it, interpret what's happening there and what God's trying to say is, and apply it. How does it apply to your life? And we taught them to rely on God, the Holy Spirit, to do that. And they were just shredding it by the end of by Saturday. They were in small groups. It wasn't me teaching them. They had a verse. They had an idea about what they were looking for. And they were reading we'd give them one verse. They'd read the whole chapter. You aren't fooling us. and they were talking to each other honestly about how it should apply in their lives. And it was really a fantastic experience to watch them learn how to get into the Word of God. And it's seriously, these are seventh graders up, to 12th graders. They studied the Word of God for 8 hours, guys. We didn't sit them down and lecture them for 8 hours and they turned us off and waited till they could go and have some fun. They were getting verses. They were in the Word of God. They were talking to each other and, they just tore it up. It was fantastic to watch. Really was. And then they went back to being kids, But, you know, we do the same thing. We come here and we get some magnificent teaching from Herman, and then we go back to being, you know, secular human beings in the world around us, you know. And so just like us, they're on that same journey of learning how to take this from a wonderful weekend of studying and exhorting one another and actually having to go and live that in high school and in their churches. Guys, we had Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, you know, from churches all over the Metroplex. And one thing I noticed, an expansion of this ministry that we never saw coming, that we never really saw coming, was you saw three guys, a couple of them had beards, young adults there. They were friends of Anna, who had gone to Slam Camp when she was and wanted to come back and be in the leadership team. And these guys came with her. So what they learned at Slam Camp, you know, they're going back to college with it. You know, the expansion of this ministry, what God the Holy Spirit can do with this simple thing of saying, hey, our home is open, and come on in, and we'll have some pizza and talk about the Bible. And that's where all this came from. And God has been truly magnificent in his faithfulness, and given us this opportunity to teach these kids how to study the Word of God and how to mentor one another in doing so. Okay. And let's see. Herman, were you planning on teaching some today?
All I need is 10 minutes.
All you need is 10 minutes? Okay, I can get 10 minutes. Look, I want you to look at a verse with me. First, please look over at Matthew 16. We're going to look at Matthew 16. We're going to just read quickly verse 27 here. Christ is talking, and he says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds." This is the words of Jesus, and he says that you are going to be held accountable. Get out there and work for Jesus, right? That's the way that verse is taken all the time. And we see it again over in Romans chapter 2. Paul also says that, let's look at verse 4. "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his..." This is how we learn to look at God our Father at camp. "The riches of his kindness." He's kind to us. "His forbearance." He doesn't give us what we deserve. He's letting us, in his kindness and his forbearance, he's not passing judgment on us and giving us what we so richly deserve. And patience. He's waiting and waiting for us to come to him, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. He wants to give you all the time that you need to realize that he's there to do all of the work, and that you can come to him. "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant hearts, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." And then a quote again, "who will render to every man according to his deeds." Okay? And so once again, the Bible seems to be telling us it's our deeds that are God is waiting for us to get up and do our thing so that we can glorify him. And most people, I've heard pastors use these to tell you that it's your works that God wants and not your faith reliance on him. But if you notice, both of those passages were quotes. And the original quote is in Psalms. And we look back over at Psalms 61. And if you would look at verse 11 in Psalm 61. "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this." That's just the way Hebrew emphasizes things, right? "Once God has spoken, twice I've heard this. That power belongs to..." 62.11. Okay, yeah, change the top page. Okay, sorry. 62.11. "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God." Not us, right? The power is all God's. And that loving kindness is thine, O Lord. And we looked at the fact that that word loving kindness is translated chesed or grace in the Septuagint. And every place that you see loving kindness in the Old Testament, if you just stop for a minute and think, that's talking about God's grace. It does a tremendous thing in helping you interpret what the Old Testament is how the Old Testament is telling us the same message as the New Testament. But grace is thine, O Lord, for thou dost recompense a man according to his work. There's our verse that was quoted two times. And we see it here where they took that passage, God is going to recompense a man according to his works. And we see that the context around that verse is God's power and God's grace. Those are the things that are going to get God's work done in our life. His power, the power of the work of his Son to save us, the power of the Spirit to guide us as we study his word and live our lives. This is tremendous work. And it's all God's work. And that's the work that God is going to judge us by that work that he has done. All God's work has to be done in God's power. That's why he sent his Son to save us, and that's why he gave us his Spirit to understand his plan and to live our lives in a manner glorifying to Christ. And we looked at aspects of Christ as our theme for Christ, for our camp this year, servant and king, and we noticed how the Jews looked only for a king. And often, we look only for a Savior when Christ is so much more for us. This Jesus who has saved us gave us the power to live our lives. He represents us before God the Father as our priest. He told us, we were told from the prophets of old, and he told us himself as he prophesied of the church age that God the Holy Spirit was going to be our power to do his work. And all of these things came together in a way that not one of us could have ever planned. It all came together is with God the Holy Spirit using all of us. I told you when I got a chance to teach in preparation for this a few months back that Slam Camp is like the formation of the Bible, verbal plenary inspiration, right? God used all of us in unique ways. And brought it all together and as only he could have. So it was a marvelous experience, not just for the kids, but for all of us as staff. And we are starting to see how God is using it more and more to teach other people about his message of grace. And if you ever wonder if all the fundraising we do is worth it, yes, it is. It's fantastic. Okay, Harvey?
Bring your Bibles to John chapter 21. How many were there total kids? 40 campers.
22 staff.
That's just amazing, people. Just amazing. And it's very much important to us at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I can't think of a better theme for camp than Jesus Christ himself. He has been my friend since my adolescence. Walked with me through my teenage years and throughout my life. I want to just cover verses two with you in closing. What is God, Christ, looking for as far as his servants and his pastors? Let's just read John 21, 15 through 17. 15, so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. I think most of you know two different Greek words. Jesus says, do you agapao me? And Peter said, I phileo, I'm very strongly affectionate. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I phileo you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time. Now you got to think about this in terms of Peter. When you think of three and Peter, what do you think of? Three denials. This is a wonderful thing Christ is giving to Peter here, just on a personal basis. Said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this time the Lord uses Peter's word, phileo me. Peter was grieved in his soul because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You'll notice in the two previous verses, you know all. You know. Here he says, you know all things. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Very quickly, I want to just go over a couple of things that, and overall observation. First of all, what is Christ looking for in his servants and in a pastor teacher especially? Not love of the congregation. That impresses a lot of congregations. Well, the pastor loves, he's always at our home, always at the church, always at the hospital when we need, he's just always there. That's not the criterion. And I'm even going to go further and stronger than that. It's not even his love of the Word. That's important. I love the Word. But does he love the Lord? Does he love the Lord? That's the great issue. This is not only true of the pastor, where he says, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. But when he uses the word lambs, this is not a derogatory term. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He's a servant of God. This is talking about, tend my servants, those that believe in me as their Savior. Tend is to feed. Feed them, study, teach them the Word. Shepherd, more inclusive. It involves all the responsibilities of the shepherd to protect. Protect against false doctrine. Protect against false teachers. Protect these things. So the shepherd had to protect from the animals, the terrain, the weather, so many things he had to protect the sheep. Then tend is to feed my sheep again. So the feeding is the great issue. And the great issue for Jesus Christ is, do you love Jesus Christ? That becomes the great issue. Now, we could spend time on agapao and phileo, but I'm not going to in just a few moments we have left. Just want you to understand what really is important to Jesus Christ. Peter's the one that jumped out of the boat and walked on water. Peter's the one that drew the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest. He was reprimanded not for having a sword, not for having a weapon, but for misusing it. And he's also the one who denied. And the point is, he failed miserably. Christ reinstated him brilliantly. People, you never do anything that takes you out of the service of the Lord. Never. Nothing is going to take you out of the service of Jesus Christ. So, I want you to understand, great issue. Jesus Christ wants us to love him. How are you going to love him and know about him? Study to show thyself approved. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing in understanding of God. What's the objective of all that study? What's the objective of learning? Learning to love Jesus Christ. When you love him, you will tell others of him. No one's ever ashamed to talk about someone they love. Never. Going back to this video we'll see Wednesday night. You offended me, people. I'm never afraid to offend anyone with the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God and the salvation. If it offends you, that's your problem. But I'm going to offend you because I love him. Because if you love him as a pastor, if you love the Lord, you'll love his flock. Notice it said, my sheep, my lambs, not yours. Not yours, mine. This congregation belongs to the Lord, not to me, not to any pastor. It's the Lord's. I have responsibility, but you're the Lord's. So if a pastor loves the Lord, he will have the proper love for the congregation, proper love for the Word of God. But it all starts with the love of Jesus Christ. Not a love of being popular. Not a love of everybody praising him. Not a love of approbation of people. Simply, you love the Lord. And people, this isn't something you can fake. It's something that takes time. And over your years, it just grows and grows. As I said, I've learned that Jesus Christ in my life is my friend. He's my Savior friend. My friend in my adolescence, junior high, and then when I started going to a Bible church, Barbie theme, in Houston, learning the Word of God, learned more about Him. And more about Him. And every day of my life, throughout my whole life, I learn more and more. Every week, I study. I sit at my desk, sometimes just shake my head. What I've learned about Him. How much I'm learning. What it's doing to my relationship with Him. It's like your husband and wife. You spend time together. You learn each other. You love each other. And that's what is required of the pastor. That's what is required of a servant. That's what you and I are. We're servants of the Lord. So, the grieving in the soul that Peter experienced, we'll all have that. Something that grieves you inside your soul. It's not sorrow. Sorrow is related to someone else. Someone's died. Someone has trouble at the various prayer requests we have. Grieving is about you. It's all inside. I failed Him. I'm not doing what He wants. It's about you. It's the grieving in the soul. You've got to know how to encourage someone in sorrow, but also someone in grief. That it's not over by any means. The Lord restored Peter. The Lord restore you. You're His servant. He loved you. And therefore you're restored. I can't think of a better thing, camp title, for camp. And I want to close now by beckoning you, encouraging you. Make this part of your daily prayer. It's that close. We're closing in the end of April. This is in July. Pray every day. Pick different things. Today, pray for the young people that are coming. Their health, they're able to come. Pray that if someone would be a distraction, I pray this, if someone's going to be a distraction, keep him away. Keep her away. Pray for the kids in different aspects. Pray for the staff, the cooks, the people at work. I'll tell you what, pray for Brian Wise. That guy worked so hard, I can't believe how hard he works. He's up early in the morning and gone, and late at night he isn't in bed yet. He's taking water around to make sure everybody gets enough water, gets enough this, gets enough that. Pray for the staff. Pray for those that will teach. That the Holy Spirit will start preparing them now. People, this is a powerful, powerful week in these young people's lives. Please appreciate that. Pray for the weather one day. Just pick out something to pray about. In respect to the young people, the staff, and all areas of the staff, even the nurse, all areas of the staff. Wisdom in spiritual love. Wisdom clothed in spiritual love. Problems, handling of problems. It's just unbelievable. And you got to be in prayer. Pray for Chris. Got to oversee all of this. He told me he wants to take less time of that and more time teaching, and I love that. I love that attitude. I want to teach more. I want to teach these young people. I have something to give them. Pray for Chris. As director, as teacher. Okay? There's just so many different ways. Pray for the bus driver. We're still going to go on the bus. Pray for the bus drivers. Pick something out. I'll guarantee you, if you can't come up, I don't know how many days are left, but let's say there's 100 days, I'll give you 100 things to pray about, one different each day. If you can't do it, I can do it. Let them be in prayer. Pray for them. Pray for this week. Pray for the impact of these young people's spiritual lives. Want them to have fun, but it's about the relationship with Jesus Christ. Learn to love him. Thank you to do that. Okay.
So, in closing, so I recognize, well, there's no Cowboys game this afternoon, so I can take 2 more minutes, I hope, of your time. Really appreciated Ben emceeing this morning, and you're going to see more and more of our Liberty leaders doing things that are kind of up in the forefront of taking charge of things and being in the face of this this ministry, which is fantastic, because that's what it's all about, is to get them into a place where they're comfortable serving as however God sees them to serve and loving the Lord. And so one of the things that Ben said was, you know, and Phil talked about, was there was a lot of time spent talking amongst themselves and studying the Word and opening the Bible. But there's a component of this that I don't want to lose sight of, because we're all talking about taking a step back. But there's a group of people here that come every single camp, every single year, every single, you know, Phil does all the teaching. And I can sit there for hours on that hard, well, okay, I can't sit on the hard floor for hours. But I can sit there and listen to Phil teach, and I just gain so much stuff. I mean, it's just like, wow, it's just amazing. But there's a whole group of people who sit with these kids, and they'll start talking, and we talk about, hey, observe and interpret and apply. But one of the things we want to make sure we constantly are reinforcing with them is, it's not about how this Bible makes you feel. It's about what God says through it. And we have the likes of Pat, who, she didn't get a lot of glory, you know, stand up here and I get to talk about all this, but she sits there and she's constantly listening and helping redirect and point to, and you know, Larry and Brian and Lori, and we all get to sit around with these kids and constantly be pointing them back to the truth. Because as Herman always says, the most dangerous thing you can do is open this Bible. And if we just said, hey, guys, take the Bible, take this passage, and go have a good time, tell us what it means at the end of the day, that could be crazy. So we don't do that. So I do want to point out that there are folks that are spending a lot of time helping to mentor and teach. And the teaching that is being provided through the power of the Spirit is solid. And these kids walk away knowing something. Whether they do anything with it, whether they believe it, whether they run with it, that's between them and the Lord. But they get it. And they get it every single time at every one of these camps. And I mean, Herman and Jody teaching last summer, and it's the truth. And it's pretty amazing to do that. So we're going to close in a song here. But we have, if you guys want to see, we put together these pamphlets. And then we put together a CD as well. We have some extras from camp, from SLAM. These are full of what we taught up there and the verses, and so you guys can see. You're welcome to take one of these if there's an extra one back there. And then there's a CD back there with the music that we car challenge. Yes. You're supposed to talk. Larry's going to talk about the car challenge, and then we'll be done. Actually, then we're going to sing a song, and then we'll be done.
One of the very cool application things that we do at SLAM Camp is we always give each van or transportation vehicle, including our adults, a challenge, which we can't read until we get to a certain point in our trip. And when we open the envelope, it's always something that allows us to go out into a public environment and either ask a question or solicit some type of response that we can share. This year, because of the weather, we weren't able to do that on the way up. So we improvised, and we did it at Bucky's. So in the past, we've, like, infiltrated Walmart in Terrell. But this year, as exhausted and tired as everyone was, we literally woke the vans up. We read our car challenge, and Bucky's was never the same after that. I promise you, there were so many kids going around, including myself. Nick or Ben, did you want to share your car challenge response? I'll give you mine really, really quickly. And as an adult, sometimes, as Kit said, we're a little apprehensive. I think sometimes children don't have all of the stuff in our heads that we do. But there I was coming out of the bathroom by myself going, okay, I've got to do this. And it was just Brian I was going to share it with. I mean, there was nobody else in my car. But this little kid's crying, and I was like, oh, I got to help him find his parents. So I helped this child, and before his mom, as soon as his mom found him, she like grabbed him and walked off, and I thought, well, I lost my chance. And then these two other young campers came up and said, Mrs. Wise, we can't find anybody. I said, you know what? I got somebody. So we went together, and we went and found the family who was reunited, and I said, I'm so glad you guys, you know, you found your parents and you guys are all back together. And then I shared the fact that we were on this mission, and I had a question to ask them, and I asked if our question was, do they know who Jesus Christ is? Is that right? Oh, who do you say Jesus Christ is? And the little girl, there was five of them in the family. One of them was about to say something, and then all of a sudden she looked around at the other family members and were like, okay, wait a minute, nobody's saying anything, I'm not saying anything. And then her mom goes, come on, you can do it. And they all kind of sat together, and then the dad goes, our Savior? And I was like, awesome. And then one of the other younger kids said, our Holy Spirit? And I was like, perfect. And I thanked them and was able to move on. And so then these other girls that were with me, the other young campers, were able to kind of watch me execute this plan so that they didn't feel so apprehensive. And then I'm serious, every aisle, kids were like, oh, I had two or three people I talked to. So Ben or Nick, do you want to share one of yours?
I didn't get around to it, really. So, I'm not gonna lie. The only one I can remember, though, is they went into Bucky's, and, they said, they went up to this lady and asked, who do you say Jesus is? And the lady was just like, I don't have time for this, I'm on a road trip. So, but, I think from someone else, I did hear, I heard that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, He was our Savior, He died on the cross for us, just a bunch of different things, and it was cool to hear that people went into a store not knowing anyone else, and they went up to a stranger that they'd never met before, and got to talk to him about Jesus Christ and who he was, and know that people do know the truth about who he is.
Not exactly the place to go evangelizing. There were at least three other church t-shirts in there. And I know our kids were actually going and talking to people, because I stopped the guy and said, what do you think Jesus is? And he said, three of your kids already stopped me.
It's good stuff.
Oh, we're going to find a real truck stop next year.
It's pretty awesome. So we're going to close with a song that we sang up at camp. We'd love for you all to join us. A plug for next Sunday morning. I am teaching next Sunday morning. Actually, I think we're going to send it. I'm going to have it sent out to the to our youth email that we're going to be teaching. We may have like one extra person show up. Who knows? So, but I'd love to invite you to join us next Sunday morning at the 9:15 class. But for now, if you guys would, you're welcome to sit and sing along, and whatever you feel like, wherever the Spirit leads you, just enjoy this, because this is the reckless love that God provides to us. Stand up. I was asked by the MC to please stand up.
Chases me down, fights till I'm found, leave the night. Lord is hurting, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away.
Father, we just thank you for this time this morning to just talk a little bit about what happened at Slam Camp, Father. It's overwhelming, the reckless love that you have for us, reckless in that we don't deserve it, we don't earn it, and there's no reason for it except that you love us. And Father, we just thank you for this congregation that supports this ministry. We thank you for the prayers of each and every person that's here. We just lift those prayers up to you. We just ask for your answers. However you see fit, Father, we just ask for the answers to these prayers. For these young people, we ask that you open their hearts to the Word and that you will continue to just challenge them each and every day and challenge each and every one of us to just trust you. You've got the perfect plan. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.